help in exhibits and everywhere else that he was needed, and going out and raising funds.
And then that is raising awareness in the sighted community regarding the blindness community and our abilities. And I'm sure Abby is looking down on us at
the whole convention, because he hasn't missed one in a very, very long time. So I'm sure that he's with us in spirit. Thanks so much, you guys. God bless.
This is Christy Crespin, and when John Mavis spoke to us last night, he sat at the table with Nellie Emerson, and he told her that John Catalano passed.
This is Frank Welty from the San Francisco chapter. We lost a couple of members since the last convention, Al and Connie Gill. Al in the spring and Connie later in the year. And of course, Al and Connie were longtime CCB members, very active, and they were very much a part of our community. And we will remember their contributions for a long time.
Well, good morning. My name is Lupi Madrona from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. We just lost a member a couple of weeks ago to cancer, Mr. Johnny Owens. And I also lost my mom last year. I haven't been here for a few conventions because I helped to take care of her for over 6 years. Put my life on the back burner for her. But now she's gone and she's in heaven. And so now I'm ready to go and start helping out in any way I can. Thank you.
Hi, this is Karen Schroeder with the ACB Capital Chapter. We lost my first vice president, Kathy Berman. I'm going to say, won her battle with cancer because she is now at peace in heaven. And she was an amazing contributor to our chapter in so many ways, with bringing baked goods for the raffle that everybody would buy more tickets just to get her baked goods. And she helped us create little cards, informational cards to hand out about our chapter. She was just very much a quiet help to our chapter, and she's very much missed. But the good thing is that her husband has remained in our chapter, being fully sighted, and is volunteering and continuing to help and participate. So that's a really good thing.
Good morning, this is Nellie Emerson, and I would like us to remember Teddy Joy Remhild, who was a dynamic member of the CCB and did a lot of service in many parts of the organization and was a friend to many of us. I also want to remember Steve Holmes, who was in Sacramento, and he was a member a long time ago in Riverside, and very helpful through good times and bad times. And I'd like for us to remember him.
Hello, this is Steve Fort from Bavia Chapter, and we lost a really dear member last year, someone who I think worked for me for 30 years, and we managed business enterprise stands together, and for years she has been devoted to Bavia Chapter and serving as our treasurer. And three years ago, Al Gill, her birthday happened to be on the same day of the meeting, our monthly meeting, and Al Gill commended her for years of service and dedication to the blind, to blind people, and I'm just so happy that she was there to hear the news from such champion advocate of blind concerns. And Ida Johnson was 77, I believe. She'll be missed.
This is Stephanie from the East LA CCB chapter, and this past January we lost Mr. Phil Garcia. The Garcias have been hosting our chapter meetings for over 45 years, and we lost his wife the prior year. The family has committed to continue to support and host our meetings at their home. Phil was looking forward to his 95th birthday. It was only going to be a week away, and he got ill and was hospitalized for pneumonia. He was getting better, was looking forward to his birthday, took a nap, and never woke up. But he's looking over us now.
There's no more hands.
Thank you very much. Let's have a moment of silence for all those we've lost this year. Thank you. We're getting some music bleeding that's going do 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 do. It's driving me nuts. So we need to see if we can figure out where that's coming from. I'd once again like to remind us that we want to welcome all of our listeners on ACB Radio throughout the world. And all the ships at sea. And we'd like to, once again, please, I'm going to remind you who our wonderful sponsors are for this convention. Our gold sponsors are Sprint and Wells Fargo, contributing $3,000 each. Our silver sponsors at $1,000 are the law firm Rosen, Bean, Galvin, and Grunfeld, LLP, and I want to acknowledge that we were unable to contact Cara Jansen, who was going to speak with us about Airbnb, but we tried, and we'll put out some more information about that, but we want to thank them for their sponsorship, as well as back with us as a sponsor this year is Vanda Pharmaceuticals as a silver sponsor. And as bronze sponsors, we have Goldstein, Borden, you'll recognize this name, Dardarian and Ho, and Lainey Feingold. Humanware is a sponsor this time. Yeah. Gabe is clapping up here. And Togo's. We provided lunch for the group yesterday. So thank you very much. Okay, we now are going to go on to our business part of our meeting, and we begin with our business minutes from 2016 with our secretary, who thank God is serving another term, Artis Bazin.
Okay. Let me know if I need a the mic closer. Okay, I'm not sure if it'll slide. It's on kind of a stand, so I'm not sure. Okay, thanks. I thought it might be a little bit too far. Okay. Okay, this will be the 2016 business meeting minutes. Elections occurred on Friday, April 8th. Judy Wilkinson was elected as president. Frank Welty was elected as first vice president. And Peter Pardini was reelected treasurer. Paul Patchy Jr. was elected for the first board member position. Charlene Arnelis was elected for the second board member position. Gail Crossan was elected for the third board member position. The business meeting was opened by Jeff Tom at 8:35 a.m. on Sunday morning, April 10. First, the San Gabriel Valley chapter brought a motion to the floor asking for the removal of Charles Navarrete from the CCB Board of Directors, primarily for breach of confidentiality, for publishing the addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, and email addresses on a public email list. The motion passed. The minutes from the 2015 convention were read. A motion was made to accept the minutes with corrections. The motion was seconded and passed. Gabe Griffith, the CCB Constitution and Bylaws Chair, provided the second reading of Article 8.9 regarding the timeline for the credentials reports for conventions. It would change the due date to no later than February 15. The committee recommended to pass, and the motion was seconded and passed. A motion was made to accept the Constitution and Bylaws report. The motion passed. Jeff gave an update on the tabled resolution from the previous year, stating that research has not been completed. Resolution 2016A regarding investigation of an online conference, the resolution committee recommended do pass, and the motion passed. Resolution 2016B was withdrawn and will be sent to the ACB convention since it was regarding federal law, not state law. Resolution 2016C regarding BEP counselors not having adequate training in business or the BEP program. The committee recommended do pass, and the motion passed. Resolution 2016D was regarding Los Angeles affiliated PBS channels not having technology to pass through audio description. The committee recommended do pass, and the motion passed. Resolution 2016E was regarding thanking the Viejos Hotel and Casino. The committee recommended to pass, and the motion passed. Resolution 2016F was regarding thanking the volunteers. The committee recommended to pass, and the motion passed. A motion was made, seconded, and passed to accept the resolution's report. It passed. Peter gave the treasurer's report. Current assets for the organization are $878,111. A motion was made and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed. Jeff Tom thanked the hard work of the technical operations group at the convention. Frank asked for more members for the fundraising committee. Pam thanked all the affiliates and chapters for their credentials reports coming in a timely manner. There was no unfinished business and no new business brought forward. The next convention will be at Woodland Hills from April 6th through the 9th. Donna gave an update on Abby Schumann's being in the hospital. Frank Welch mentioned the June 10 Lighthouse event. And artists told about the successful student focus group and that the students' affiliate has new officers, and the first meeting of the board will be on May 1, followed by a student membership meeting. The convention was adjourned.
We need a motion.
Madam President.
Gabe?
I'll second that.
So it's been moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. Are there any discussion in it?
Madam President.
Yes, Gabe has.
May I have?
Yep, you may.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Artists, first of all, good minutes as far as capturing the essence of the meeting. However, I have one substantive amendment and one kind of technical one. The first one is during the elections. Judy was elected as president. That left the office of second vice president open. There was a special election for that at which I was elected.
Oh, okay.
So that needs to be reflected in those minutes.
Oh, okay, sure, no problem.
The second one, as far as kind of a technical one, is in the resolutions, and those should be numbered, not lettered. 1 through 6 or whatever it was, not A through F, I think is how they were read. Thank you.
I probably didn't put my number sign in front of it.
It's easy when you're reading Braille, but I just wanted to make sure that, because on the resolutions, they're actually numbered 2016, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. So just wanted to make sure that was got. Thank you.
I hear Bernice. Somebody needs to get Bernice a mic. Thank you. Do you want this?
You know, the elections contain either 3 officers and 4 directors or 2 officers and 5 directors. And that one was 3 officers. And there was a 4th director elected, and I believe that was Charlene Ornelas.
Oh, no, her I listed.
Oh, okay.
Vivian was a partial. She played a partial,
okay.
But the 4th person isn't listed there.
No, she listed 3.
Gail? Yeah, it was Greg.
Gail?
Paul Apache.
No, yeah. There has to be one more.
Yeah, Paul.
And Vivian would be 5.
Yeah.
Vivian
okay.
would be 4. Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's
Vivian.
Sorry.
Charlene, Paul.
No, and Vivian. Well, no, because there were 3 officers, so it'd be 4 board positions.
Yeah, but it's 4.5 because
we have to replace Gabe.
Okay, we've got, she knows to make the list correct.
Got here. Okay.
Any other additions or corrections?
Okay.
All in favor of accepting the business minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The other word, abstain. Okay, all in favor. I mean, we did that. They passed.
Oh, Frank is important.
Who's awake this morning? Not your president.
Well, next time, I think I'll run it through the board list. That way you can catch the things before
yes.
I...
Yes. I forgot. I hope I won't need this. Could we stop the side conversation for a minute? Especially when you're sitting next to me. I hope I don't need this morning, but I never said it. But I've got my two parliamentarians sitting next to me. Jeff is my official parliamentarian, and Gabe is the backup. And so, in case we have fisticuffs this morning on the floor, we want to make sure we've got my parliamentarians ready to advise me. Okay, we're next going to have, we had the full treasurer's report to the board Thursday night, but we need a brief treasurer's report to the full convention, and here to give that report is, where's Peter?
Thank you very much, Judy. I'd like to welcome everybody to this meeting of the California Council of the Blind. This will be a brief treasurer's report. I'm just going to give you the highlights. For the period January 1st, 2016 to December 31st, 2016, we have we have total income in the amount of $127,686. For the same period, we budgeted $149,475, leaving a variance, the difference, a negative $21,789. On the expense side, we had total expenses in the amount of $242,317. The budgeted expenses were $234,670, leaving a difference of a negative $7,647. The net ordinary revenue for the period, this is the difference between our income and expenses, is a negative $114,631. The budgeted variance is, the budgeted difference is $85,195, leaving a difference, a variance of $29,436. During the same period, we had other income from investments in the amount of $45,755. Investment expenses in the amount of $308, leaving, if you add the amount of revenue less expenses, this is total revenue less all of our expenses of Basically, other revenues less other expenses equals $42,680. So the bottom line is total revenue less all expenses is a negative $96,022. And the budgeted difference is $85,195. And let me just give you the total assets as of December 31st, 2016. They are $799,968. And this concludes my treasurer's report for the period ending December 31st, 2016.
Thank you, Peter. We need a motion. So I heard it's motion moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report.
And Judy, have a little. I'd like to have another announcement.
But Peter, we're working on the treasurer's about the treasurer's report.
It's no, it's about the amount of money that we raised last night.
Wonderful. Add that. No, Peter. Let's finish this, and then you can add that. Any discussion about the treasurer's report, official treasurer's report? Okay, all in favor of accepting the treasurer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Accepted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter has some wonderful news to share.
Yes, I did. Yes, I do. Basically, last night, we took in for the CCB General Fund $4,850. For the scholarship fund, we took in $3,800, which is a total of $8,650. And I'd like to thank our chapters and affiliates, and a special shout out to John and Susan Glass, who made a wonderful contribution to the California Council of the Blind.
This is wonderful, and this is absolutely necessary. Thank you so much to the chapters, and to the individuals too. Okay, I think we're ready for. Okay, fellows, are we doing constitution or resolutions first?
Oh, it's a constitution.
Okay. Oh, sorry. See, that's what my parliamentarian just told me. We do constitution first. Somebody has a question from the floor. Crispy. You know what? We need a volunteer.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay. I was just wondering how the fundraiser did for BJ's.
We have no clue, Chrissy, because the restaurant won't give us that information for quite a while. But boy, the minute we know, we'll let everybody know. Lots of our folks were there. We were just thrilled. Well, let me just tell you a quick story about that. I have to tell the story about Steve's cousin, Laura, who's a fundraiser herself. She marched back to the back and said, you know, all those flyers you collected, let's put them back out front so people can pick them up as they come through again. And the restaurant did that. And by the time we had been there a little while, the restaurant staff knew to take 20% off of the check of every blind person they saw, if not everybody else.
Did we get very many?
Yeah. Oh, well, that was very generous of you, but I'm sorry that happened. But it was generally quite successful, I think. It's as much as we could have hoped, I think. Okay, I'm going to now turn the microphone over to the chair of our Constitution and Bylaws Committee, our second vice president, Gabe Griffith.
All right, thank you, Judy. So I don't forget at the end, I want to start by thanking the committee members. First of all, and I don't think I can live up to what Christy said last night, but Dr. Jerry Consular has been a huge part of this committee over the years, former chair, and just so knowledgeable about Constitution and Robert's Rules of Order and everything, and he's going to be sorely missed on this committee. Other committee members, Roger Peterson is kind of our default historian on there now that brings also a lot of knowledge to our committee and constitutional experience. So thank you, Roger, for all of your guidance. Sarah Harris, our newest member, Dave Jackson, and also Steve Mendelson, who brings a lot of knowledge to this committee. I don't think I could even begin to do any of this stuff without all of them. So thank you to everybody. Also, just real quick before we go on to the constitutional stuff, I know Judy's going to thank a lot of people later, but let's thank Judy Wilkinson for all of her work during this convention. Judy has done so much over since she was elected last year, and this is her first convention. It's been a great convention, so thank you, Judy. I think that is everybody. That I, hopefully I didn't forget anyone, and as I said last night, if there's any committee members here that I did forget anybody, please yell out and remind me. Otherwise, we're going to move on. We had the first reading of several amendments, proposed amendments yesterday. So today we will have the second reading and move on with action and debate and passing on them. So what we will do is I will have asked Jeff Tom to read the amendments, and once he's done, I will give the committee's recommendation. So thank you, and if you're ready, go ahead and start reading, Jeff.
Yes, now it's on. I got it on. Okay, this is on sustaining members, Article 7.5. Sustaining members shall have all the rights of membership conferred upon... Oh, this is existing language, excuse me. Sustaining members shall have all the rights of membership conferred upon the chapter members, members at large, and life members, except that sustaining members shall not have the right to vote and may not hold office in the council or any of its chapters. Proposed change would be to delete everything from except to the end of the sentence. So the new language of that Article 7.5 would read, sustaining members shall have all the rights of membership conferred upon the chapter members, members at large, and life members. Gabe?
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jeff. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
We need a second?
In a committee, no, it actually...
We do not. Thank you. Sorry.
But here's the mic if you want.
Okay.
Discussion. Charlene? Remember, madam, you say your name that you'd like the floor.
Yes, I have a question. Under the change in the... Constitution or the bylaws, would a person who is fully sighted be able to be president or one of the vice presidents?
That, yes, please.
That part of the Constitution is not being changed on in this resolution or in this amendment. That is dealt with elsewhere. So, no, that would not be changed. This is just addressing membership.
I have it. Thank you. My question is, that means that they will be able to have the right to vote and hold office?
Yes.
What would be the difference between somebody who's a sustaining member and somebody who's an active member?
They pay more money.
This is Karen. That goes along with my question. For those who are new, because I know there are some new people, can someone please just give us a short definition of a sustaining member?
How much is it? Is it $50?
I don't remember the exact amount off the top of my head. The biggest reason for this is for being able in the next year or so for Paul Shane to be able to go out and actively recruit sustaining members to bring in more money for the council. So
Madam President, I hate to do this to one of my closer friends, but there needs to be that piece of information, because sustaining member has to mean something more. Otherwise, it tends to cheapen what a regular member is. So I really agree that we need to know what a sustaining member has to pay.
Peter reminds me, and I can pull up the document here in a second, but Peter reminds me it's either, I think, $25 or $50 for sustaining members. And so it would, I think, mainly give sustaining members rights rather than just giving a donation. If anyone has any suggestions, I guess, on language, maybe they could do this.
Madam President, Frank Welty. I speak in opposition to this amendment. I believe that a sustaining member should not be a voting member. If you want to be a voting member, then become a regular member of this organization. And if you want to contribute additional money, that's fine. But I think that the sustaining membership is essentially an honorary membership. And so I do not think that a voting privilege is appropriate.
Madam President.
So in our Constitution, people who are not active become sustaining members. What I'm saying is that basically if you haven't attended 3 meetings, or if you have, if you're not attending, what generally has happened is that membership has become a sustaining membership. I think the word sustaining is, I understand, like for National Public Radio and things like that, when they're using the word sustaining, they're using it as a continual membership, and that's kind of what I thought Paul was talking about. I just see a real danger in having people having sustaining, quote unquote, I'd like to call it something else. But I see a real danger in people paying money and having votes and running for office and we losing who we are.
Jeff asked for the floor next.
Madam President, I move to postpone action on this issue until the next convention. If there's a second, I'll talk about my motion. I think there is some merit to what we are trying to do, but I think it needs to be more completely fleshed out and thought out. And that's the reason for my motion.
That's clear from the discussion.
Is that motion viable with another motion on the floor?
I don't see why not.
It's a new motion, and I would assume it's a
No,
it's not a motion to table. Postpone. Okay. I'm going to rule that the motion is in order. We have a resolution that may show why Jeff's thought is a good one. All in favor?
We have to have discussion on the motion.
Any discussion of Jeff's motion to postpone discussion of this till next year, next convention? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Moving on to the next amendment. Peter? All right.
And I can't remember this, but is Friends of CCB still, is that still active? I mean, I know it's not active. But
no.
Is there anything we need to do to reconstitute it?
Not at this time, since we're reading constitutional amendments.
Okay. But I'm not sure. I can't remember where it shows up.
We'll check, but that's out of order right now.
Okay.
Okay, this is section 10.11. censure, suspension, and removal of officers and directors. The original language of Section 10.11 is as follows. The convention may remove any officer or director of the council between elections only by a two-thirds vote of the council members in convention assembled. The convention must receive notice of the impending vote to remove at least 24 hours. Let me read that with a little better. The convention must receive notice of the impending vote to remove at least 24 hours in advance of such vote. If any officer or director should be so removed, a replacement may be elected by a simple majority vote, as in the case of the regular elections. The replacement shall serve for the unexpired term of the removed officer or director. A president so removed shall not serve as immediate past president. The proposed change is to delete the section and rewrite as follows.
Jen, could we just say that this is a result of what happened last year?
Yes. Yes. This is a result of the removal motion last year. New language, 10.11.1, general. An officer or director of the council may be censured, suspended, or removed for cause. A documented breach for cause, colon. A documented breach of the CCB constitution and bylaws, or of the written policies established by the board of directors, including 10.11.1.1, policy regarding expectations, roles, and responsibilities for members of the board of directors, 10.11.1.2, confidentiality policy, 10.11.1.3, policy regarding conflicts of interest and discharge of duties, 10.11.1.4, any policies subsequently adopted by the board of directors. Now we're on section 10.11.2, or subsection, I should say.
Can we just dispense with all the, and just go with the last two or three numbers so that we don't have to keep repeating all the 11s? Can you do that?
I'm not sure if that would be less or more. I'm not sure. I see where you're going. Conditions. She's just trying to make it easier for all of us. 10.11.2.1. A censure may be issued for a first-time breach of the Constitution and bylaws or of existing board policy, while suspension or removal may be imposed. While suspension or removal may be imposed for what the board deems as an extreme breach or repeated breaches of the Constitution and bylaws or of existing board policy, regardless of whether such breach or breaches represent a first-time violation. Section 10.11.2.2. An officer or director may not be censured, suspended, or removed for behavior such as expressing strong disagreement or arguing for an unpopular position. 10.11.3, censure. The board of directors may censure an officer or director between conventions or at the board meeting scheduled during the annual convention by a two-thirds roll call vote. When an officer or director is censured, he or she will be given written notice that should the offending behavior continue or a separate breach of the Constitution, bylaws, or of existing board policy occur, suspension and or removal may result. 10.11.4, suspension. 10.11.4.1, the board of directors may suspend an officer or director between conventions or at the board meeting scheduled during the annual convention for an extreme breach or repeated breaches of the Constitution and bylaws or of existing board policy by a two-thirds roll call vote. Upon imposition of the suspension, the suspended officer or director forfeits the right to vote as a member of the board, to participate in board deliberations, or in any other way to be a part of board communications. 10.11.4.2, a suspension must be referred to the membership for ratification at the next scheduled convention following the board meeting at which such action was taken. Ratification of a suspension will be by a two-thirds vote. Ratification of a suspension will be by a two-thirds vote of the membership. In no event shall a suspension be longer than 1 year from the date of its ratification by the membership. 10.11.5, removal. 10.11.5.1, the board of directors may suspend an officer or director with recommendation for removal between conventions or at the board meeting scheduled during the annual convention for a breach or repeated breaches of the Constitution and bylaws or of existing board policy, then in the opinion of the board is so egregious as to warrant such removal. A two-thirds roll call vote of the board will be required for such recommendation. 10.11.5.2, removal of an officer or director must be referred to and upheld by a two-thirds vote of the membership at the next scheduled convention following the board meeting at which such action was taken. The convention must receive notice of the impending vote at least 24 hours in advance of such vote. 10.11.5.3, if an officer or director is so removed, a replacement will be elected in accordance with the provisions set forth elsewhere in this Constitution. The replacement officer or director shall serve the unexpired term of the removed officer or director. A president so removed shall not serve as immediate past president. 10.11.6, causes for removal of an officer or director. In addition to the causes referenced in 10.11.1, an officer or director may be removed for one or more of the following causes or multiple breaches of the same cause. 10.11.6.1, failure to attend 3/4 of scheduled board meetings called in any 12-month period. 10.11.6.2, a documented breach of ethics or conflict of interest. 10.11.6.3, employment with the council. 10.11.6.4, repeated discourtesy or disrespect shown toward other board members or members of the council. 10.11.6.5, repeated failure to adhere to Robert's Rules of Order. And that is the end.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for reading that. As Jeff said, this came out of the motion and removal last year. So Jeff and Judy established a task force for putting this together, so I guess I should acknowledge, I forgot earlier to acknowledge Gene Lozano and Mitch Pomerantz for working with me on putting this together, so thank you guys. That being said, the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Gabe, could I, let me just have a microphone. This puts you on the spot, but could you just briefly suggest what the, you know, the new, what in substance the new additions mean?
I guess what it means is that I have to be nicer to Jeff. No, basically what this does is puts into the Constitution more, lays out better reasons of why somebody can or can't, or may not, I should say, be suspended or removed. Also, the Constitution currently does not address censure, which is basically, you know, telling somebody that they've done wrong. There was a lot of talk last year when this issue came up that there what we as an organization didn't have a lot of guidance on this issue, and so we were our attempt here was to as concisely as possible. And I know it doesn't sound that way with this resolution, but as concisely as possible, try to give reasons for, or guidance for us as an organization and the board of directors as the governing board between conventions to be able to handle a situation that will hopefully not arise.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you. I think that may preempt a lot of what might follow. Is there discussion from the floor on this amendment? Donna Sanchez, would somebody get Donna a mic?
Jeff, there was a section that you read, something that said that it the censure would only last for a year. Does that mean that person can go back to that position?
The suspension. The censure is basically just, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but basically just writing a letter to them or formally announcing what's happened and how it's wrong. Suspension is where they would essentially still be on the board, but not be allowed to be an active participant on the board or in any board calls, votes, email discussion lists, any of that, until that suspension is removed. And yes, it does say that suspension cannot last more than 1 year from the time that the convention ratifies it. You're welcome.
Madam President.
Pampology seeks the floor.
Forgive me, I may be asking this question at the wrong time, and if I am, I know you'll tell me I'm out of order. Or maybe you can tell me when I could ask it. Pursuant to this motion that was passed last year, is there anything that could be placed in that regarding harassment that has occurred pursuant, or is that a different topic? Or thank you.
Pam, it's Gabe. I think things in the past would be not addressed by this. Is it habeas corpus that doesn't allow you to be convicted of something that wasn't against the law when you did it? This amendment would not take effect until July 1st of this year.
She's asking, is harassment...
Are you asking harassment over the last year or harassment in the future? Current harassment.
Would it be covered? Would harassment be covered?
Harassment would be covered, but not until this item goes into effect on July 1st.
A lot of the, Jeff read a number of possibilities, and behaving incorrectly toward other board members or boards members or members would be considered a violation and punished, and we could take action. So it's covered.
Yeah, I want to speak in favor of this motion. I think it really defines much more clearly the process of censure, suspension, the whole thing. And to my way of thinking, what I'm hoping this will do is that it will help us to, not react too quickly or too emotionally to any given situation. I think sometimes there's a tendency for us to perhaps react in ways that we might regret later. Thank you.
Jean, sixth floor. Jean Lozano.
Thank you. Obviously, I'm in support of this. I'm sorry. There's just something I thought it's when Jeff was reading, and unfortunately I can't give section numbers and subparts, but it talks about where in basically the person violating the Constitution or the policies of the board. There's a few places like that. Can we consider put and or, because you could be both violating the Constitution and the policies or individual ones. So I'm just wondering if that's something that could be considered for inclusion.
Gene, I would consider that a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
I think putting, you're right, I think there's at least two or three places where it says that, and just putting an and or is easy enough.
I actually, as a writer of thousands of laws, the and includes the or in this case. So I don't think there's a need for that. I totally agree with you, Gene, but I don't think it's needed. The or includes the and, I should say. Yeah, it would be.
Gabe and I are playing hand the mic back and forth. Further discussion. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
There was... Mike wanted to say something.
Mike Keithley?
Yeah. Well, my question was, in the removal section, there's a paragraph about people working for the CCB. Was that defined somewhere else in the Constitution? About
yes, Mike. Employees cannot be, serve on the board. It would be an honorable, if somebody, we hired someone, then they could not serve on the board. Okay. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? It passes. Thank you.
Okay. Article 11.6, the current language is, the president of the California Council of Lions shall be in charge of the management of the council's daily affairs and shall have the authority to hire and fire staff members. However, professional staff may be terminated only after consultation with the entire board of directors. Proposed change, rewrite as follows. New language. The chief executive officer is responsible for the day-to-day operation of the organization. If a chief executive officer is present, the president is still ultimately responsible for all aspects of the organization in conjunction with the board of directors, but will assign and delegate, with the consent of the board, the CEO the appropriate authority required to oversee all aspects of the organization, with the exception of the facilitation of board committee and membership activities. I'm going to read that again because I think there's a two missing. And so I'm going to put the two in and read it. Let me get here. If a chief executive officer is present, the president is still ultimately responsible for all aspects of the organization in conjunction with the board of directors, but will assign and delegate, with the consent of the board, to the chief executive officer, the appropriate, in fact, let me write that in because otherwise it may get lost, to the chief executive officer, the appropriate authority required to oversee all aspects of the organization, with the exception of the facilitation of board, committee, and membership activities. Is that clear? Do you want it to be read one more time? There is more. The board is responsible for hiring and terminating the chief executive officer. The president is charged with the individual supervision and evaluation of the chief executive officer. The chief executive officer is the only employee of the board. All other staff are the employees of the chief executive officer. That concludes the new language.
And the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
As it turns out. Yeah. Discussion. Christy needs the mic.
Okay, I have a question. So if the employees are employees of, does it say of or under?
Of.
Okay, so the difference would be that they are not employees of. Tell me the difference between why we would have them be employees of the CEO rather than employees of the board or of the CCB.
Christy, up to this point, the president of the board has basically functioned as the executive director or CEO of the organization and been responsible for all contracts, hirings, firings, etc. Now that we have a chief executive officer, basically what this is saying is that the board and the president are responsible for hiring or firing that chief executive officer.
the CEO would then be the one responsible for all hirings and firings of any other employees. Does that... those employees would report to the CEO, not report to the board and the president. Does that make sense?
I have a question.
I want to make sure that I'm not fumbling around this morning and not answering Christy's question.
But you can't just say, I have a question, say your name.
Peter Pardini.
Wait, Peter, I heard you first, then I heard Donna, and then Frank.
So basically, all employees are, I mean, CCB employees, all employees. What I think this amendment is trying to say is that the direct supervision responsibility of all employees, of all other employees besides the executive director, falls under the executive director, and the executive director, the CEO. The CEO. Is supervised directly by the board president.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's clearly stated.
What if we were to do this? And this isn't perfect, but it might work. The chief executive officer is the only employee of the board, period. All other staff shall be hired, fired, and supervised by the chief executive officer. That would be a little clear. Now let me try and do it.
He's gonna let him write it.
All other staff are, or no, shall. Let me do that. Let me erase words here.
He's writing a little bit for a minute. We'll get to you, Donna, and we'll get to you, Frank.
It went into grade, whatever.
Yes, that's right. If you can just tell me what you're saying, I can...
Okay. All other staff shall be hired, fired, and supervised by the CEO.
Hired, fired,
and supervised.
And supervised.
Supervised by
the CEO.
Okay.
Okay.
That will be the final sentence of the section.
That would work for me.
Donna?
Yes. My question is, can he hire 10 people?
No.
Or can he hire 5 or 2? Does the board?
Any time that he knows what the budget is, we know what staff and contracts are budgeted. So he obviously has to work within those guidelines. He just can't go out and hire, 20people.
And if he hires them, he can be fired. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He does that. He's the one gets fired. Does that answer your question, Donna? Okay. Frank, sixth floor.
This is Frank Welty, and I'm uncomfortable with the CEO having sole hiring authority, in the sense that I'm comfortable with the CEO having supervisorial and operational authority over staff, especially clerical staff. But for example, I do not know that it would be appropriate for the CEO to be the person who would be selecting our next director of governmental affairs. I think that's more of a I don't think that would be a hire that we would want to have at the sole discretion of one person.
Just 1 second. I would like Gabe to respond to what Frank says. Do we? Currently, the CEO really does have that authority.
I
I'd refer to you or Jeff as
seems to me
I would say to Frank the following. I understand your point, Frank, but clearly we are in a new culture. We are in a culture where the chief executive officer is running the day-to-day operations of the organization. And you can't just say, well, we're going to give him this, but not that. We have to give him the general authority that is provided to a chief executive officer. Having said that, it is up to the board and the president to make sure that the chief executive officer understands that when you're going to have an advocate, you know, it better be someone who is able to do the job. And I'm, without getting into all the details of what our director of governmental affairs should be, we need to get that understanding through to the CEO. That's our responsibility.
And I want to just say further that we have a very respectful CEO who would never hire somebody like that without consultation. Keep reminding you, CEO makes the wrong decisions.
Okay. What this does is make it clear how it operates. In other words, the board with the president oversees, in general, the CCB. The president is the head of the board, who then becomes the supervisor of staff, of the executive director or CEO. If we don't allow that person to have the authority to hire or dismiss or control the staff or other elements of operation of the CCB, we're tying their hands of being successful. They are answerable to the president. The president is answerable to the board. The board is answerable to the membership. So there is a check and balance. If the executive director or CEO goes off on wrong areas, we can't decide that, okay, this one is good. We have to make rules for future. We'd like to see Paul stay around for a while, but the future comes along. So this just makes it clear where the chain of commands is. It's the outline of where the chain of command for operation is.
Gene, you're next.
We are not, we will stay as a consumer organization. We are not going to be an agency. But the thing is, this is one aspect that is just like any organization has staff. For instance, the Society for the Blind or the Lighthouse for the Blind. The CEO is the person who has, as it's been stated, they have a budget that has been given to them by the board. They've been given approval for positions, and it's their responsibility to hire somebody who meets the criteria there. And it's not the board that gets into that. Now, the thing is, the organization is a personnel committee, and that's where such things as the job description and what the guidelines would be going through the personnel, and that's something the CEO would work with the personnel committee on those things to assure you. But this is, as you know, is standard practice. Thank you.
I only want to hear if there's somebody who wants to speak in opposition. Okay, we've had call for the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. This passes. Okay. And we're moving on.
We're in Article 15.4. The current language is as follows. The funds raised by any chapter belong to that chapter for its use. However, as a tax-exempt not-for-profit organization, each chapter has an obligation to report its fundraising activities to the appropriate agencies of state and federal government. Thus, if a chapter does not have its own tax-exempt status, it must raise funds as a part of and under the tax-exempt status of CCB. Therefore, I could. Hang on. Let me get this. Yeah, it was a... yeah, you want me to start over?
Please.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, this is important.
Yes, it is.
Okay, 15.4. The funds raised by any chapter belong to that chapter, that's correct, for its use. However, as a tax-exempt not-for-profit organization, each chapter has an obligation to report to the appropriate agencies of state and federal government. Thus, if a chapter does not have its own tax-exempt status, it must raise funds as a part of and under the tax-exempt status of CCB. Therefore, each such chapter shall annually report to the CCB treasurer no later than December 31 the nature of its fundraising projects during the year, together with the amounts of the proceeds realized and the expenses incurred in connection with such projects. So, the section would be rewritten, as follows. New language. The funds raised by any chapter or affiliate belong to that chapter or affiliate to be used by them as long as such use is not contrary to the purposes of CCB. Except where otherwise stated in this Constitution, every chapter and affiliate must report all fundraising activities, the nature of fundraising, amounts of proceeds and expenses incurred, financial reserves, treasury balances, investments, programmatic activities, and other variables as determined by the president or their designee to the CCB on a timeline and format determined by the CCB president or their designee. 15.4.1, current language. Oh, sorry, Gabe, is this part of the same amendment, or is this separate?
It had been written as a separate one, but I'm wondering if it might almost be better to take it up.
Okay, so there's no new there's no old language, and it's just a new section as follows. Chapters and affiliates holding their own 501c3 status are exempt from reporting fundraising activities and financial information to the state office. Period. Essentially, they are exempt from Section 15.4.
There you go. Point one. Now, Gabe, here's your mic.
Thank you, and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay. Discussion.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, you know here's again. He shows up at lots of meetings. So I think now we're going to say, where's Peter? Needs the mic.
In this constitutional change, do we need to state that I know that it's up to the discretion, it's up to the president to determine when chapters will submit their financial information at all. But do we need to state again that at least once a year? Because we really do need fundraising and other information at least once a year from chapters and affiliates.
It says on a timeline and format determined by the president or their designee.
But do we need to... But do we need to have? I would prefer.
Hang on, yeah. Peter.
Okay. I'm just telling you what it says. Don't. I'm not supporting or opposing. I'm just.
So, Peter, would you want something like for it to say, on a timeline and format determined by the president or the designee, and that this be at minimum once a year or something like
right,
that.
Right. Perfect.
So you heard what Peter suggested, and we consider that appropriate, obviously. I heard Gene first, and then I heard Christy.
Where it's stated that a chapter or affiliate that is incorporated then does not have to turn in the financial reports, paraphrasing, to CCB. I think, and I know it's going beyond, but that we should have something clearly stating that it's understood that those chapters and affiliates that are incorporated, they are responsible for themselves to turn in the paperwork to the appropriate, what is it, Attorney General's office, so that there's no question, because it's just kind of, oh, I don't have to do anything. And if the chapter, may perhaps leadership at the time is not that familiar with the requirements for a corporation, their corporation could lapse and, you know, fail for whatever for not providing that information. So I'm just thinking it so it's there, so there's no misunderstanding.
Gene, do you think, would that be in that section, whatever, 4.1?
I want to...
Just an extra sentence that says... Jeff, can you read the 15.4.1 one more time for us?
Yes. The funds raised by any chapter or affiliate belong to that chapter or affiliate to be used by them as long as such use is not...
No. This is to do with the corporation.
Oh, just in the ones that do have their 501c3s?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Gene.
Yeah.
And by the way, this all may change if we can pursue it. There is now a...
Well, let's deal with at that time.
I'm just trying to find it.
Okay, I have it here. I can try to read it.
Chapters and affiliates holding their own 501c3 status are exempt from reporting fundraising activities and financial information to the state office.
And then I'm
How about if we say, however, these chapters and affiliates are still responsible for reporting their own financial information to the appropriate authorities?
Is it the Attorney General's office? Okay, then that's fine. I that addresses my need for that clarity.
I think that's it. I shouldn't express personal opinions, but...
For reporting...
Jeff, there are two ahead of you, Frank.
Information to the appropriate state and federal entities.
Yeah.
Okay, I just have a really super
ahead.
Nitpicky one.
Go ahead.
It Christy. Says the president or their designee. I'm sorry, that just bugs me. That is
me too, grammar. As an English teacher, Christy. But you know what?
Can we just say or designee?
President
or designee.
Oh, take out the word there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take it out. President or designee. Good. Wait a minute, Kathy. There are two ahead of you. There are three ahead of you. No, Jeff is first. I moved him up. Jeff is next. Frank spoke for the floor after
Jeff.
No,
I'm not.
Then Kathy.
I'm fine. Take me away.
You're fine?
Yeah.
All right. Frank and then Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
Yes, I support this amendment. I do have a question which probably doesn't need to be acted on right now, but I'm just raising the question of, while I understand that an affiliate or a chapter that has its own corporate and 501c3 status has that level of financial independence in terms of reporting, is there a case to be made for some sort of reporting requirements in order to support the CCB's grant-making efforts and the like, regardless of the legal independence factor? And I think that's too big a topic to cover here on the floor, but I want to put it out there on the record as something to be considered.
I have that in my mind too, Frank. We do need to have information from our... They're not exempt from giving us information. We need to work on how we'll do that appropriately so that we're not stepping on toes, but we get information we need. Kathy.
Okay. I am supportive of this, and I also understand the those chapters that would like to have their independent 501c status. I feel that we need to have some sort of verification submitted to the state office of that fact. So in the statement that Jeff had just read, could there be added that with verification to the state office, the chapters with independent 501c status, et cetera? Because a chapter can say, oh, we have one, but if they really don't, then what?
Maybe Peter as treasurer or someone could address this as well, but I would feel that requirement would be implied in this, that if you're going to exempt them, then they have to give verification of that before we can say you don't have to do something.
I would like to have something in the Constitution that states they need to provide verification.
So how about this? Let me just say this. Chapters and affiliates who have, I'm writing as I'm talking, verified with the CCB office that they hold...
Are you in that computer mode again?
That they hold their own 501c3 status, are exempt from reporting fundraising activities and financial information to the state office. Oh.
Does that work? Sounds like it does.
I would. Can I make one friendly amendment?
Go ahead, Peter.
I would like to. I think they should report their fundraising activities, but not their financial, their financial stat. I'd like to hear.
It might be hard this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's leave this and.
I don't disagree.
Now. And in fact, legally, we have to know ultimately their fundraising activities because there are certain fundraising activities that we can't allow during. Christy? I heard you, Donna.
Why can't we say something like are exempt from reporting their financial status but must report fundraising activities? I mean, it's just something as simple as that.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying okay. Does the Constitution chair...
Exempt from reporting... I don't know what their financial status means exactly, but I mean, I get what you're going for.
Financial status... Yeah, they're exempt from... You said they're exempt from reporting their financial status...
Must report fundraising efforts, but then continue.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
We could get rid of and financial information.
Yeah. Whatever.
Or just get rid of fundraising activities and keep that shall be exempt from reporting financial information.
Yeah.
Other than their fundraising activities. How about that?
Okay.
Making my life more miserable here.
Gabe, you need to be getting these if you can.
Shall be exempt from reporting financial information.
We'll get it correct.
Donna,
do you still have your question?
Yes, ma'am. My question is, why would you not want to put a date?
What date? What are you talking about?
The date that we need to have the information due. The chapters have that are not.
It will be set. You know, for instance, now we're asking for chapters to do stuff monthly, but obviously we're going to all need it all by the end of the year. But we wanted to do it more than once a year so that we wouldn't have to do it all at the end of the year.
I have more earlier
Gene takes the floor.
I was wondering if you could repeat. I missed the part that I think was to that these groups that are incorporated, they provide the office with verification that they actually are incorporated with their number. I think that's what Kathy was asking for, and I missed what language you came up with.
Okay, let me.
Jeff is.
Fix something and read
fixing
the.
Fixing and then reading.
I'm going to read the section as I hopefully now have it.
Yes.
chapters and affiliates who have verified theirs, who have verified with the CCB office that they hold their own 501c3 status, are exempt from reporting financial information other than their fundraising activities to the state office. However, these chapters and affiliates are still responsible for reporting information to the appropriate state and federal entities.
I think they wanted to take out the still.
No, no, leave it, leave it. We aim to please. All in favor of this amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Frank seeks the floor.
I rise to make a motion that we direct the Constitution and Bylaws Committee to review the question of appropriate reporting requirements for affiliates and chapters with 501c3 status in order to return a possible amendment at next to clarify these matters at next year's convention. I think there are a lot of issues that go beyond the scope of today's discussion but deserve consideration.
Frank,
I'd like to.
This, Jeff.
Well, first, is there a second? If there isn't. I don't want to speak in
Jeff,
of opposition.
I think both of the. We have Jeff and then Gabe.
I want to speak in opposition because I think there's a lot more than just the Constitution Bylaws Committee here. For example, it is my understanding that there's now a way to give PIN numbers to all of our subordinate entities so that we would not be responsible for doing this reporting. This is something that the CEO and the president are going to have to look at, because this could really minimize our liability, and it may change how we decide to address this whole thing, in part. So let's not limit this to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. This is an effort that we must do this year, but it's broad-based.
Madam President, thank you. I also am in opposition, and the reason being that a resolution that we will hear in a little while may very well address this, that we are proposing to completely overhaul and update the entire Constitution for next year, and all parts and aspects of the Constitution will be looked at.
Okay.
All right. Just to repeat for the recording, that Frank said that he withdraws his motion.
Do we have hotel staff here?
Negative.
What?
No.
Negative. Paul, would you let us know? I asked that the staff who have been helping us be here at 10, and I don't know whether they are out there, or would you go? No, the hotel. Yep.
Thank you, Madam President. That is the final resolution?
No.
Constitutional amendment? I'm sorry, I guess I've been going to too many meetings this weekend. That is the final constitutional amendment for today. And so that concludes the
2017, I had to stop and think what year we're in, 2017 report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee.
Do we need a motion to accept the report?
We do.
Okay. So I'm assuming you moved to accept the report? Gabe? We have a motion to accept the report. Second. All in favor of accepting the report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Just 1 second.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was my fault.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we do have, could the hotel staff who was here please come up and introduce themselves to us? Could you give them a mic? I apologize. I didn't know you have been patiently waiting.
We've been here.
We're so sorry.
It's okay. We are volunteers. Come on down, Eric. We are volunteers through the Hilton Hotel. We also have Girl Scouts here, but my name is Adie Vaughn. I'm through the community with my business. It's called BLM Entertainment, which stands for Black Lucy Music, and I do dog parties. You know, all kind of little events, but I come from the entertainment industry, and the Hilton Hotel have been mentoring me for about 10 years. So I've been volunteering through the Hilton.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Krista Alcantar. I'm a student at Cal State Northridge.
Okay, so we have volunteers.
It is my pleasure to be here today assisting you. Thank you.
I'm Eric. I'm one of Babette's students, and I go to Northridge as well. And pleasure to see you guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Kyle. I am also one of the Cal State Northridge volunteers, and it's been awesome helping you guys out these last few days.
And just on behalf of Babette Shade and the hotel, we want to say thank you. We hope that you had a wonderful experience here. And any comments you have or any things you want to say, we'd be happy to get a staff member. But we do thank you for being here. We hope everyone has a blessed holiday coming, too, as well.
Okay. Now, so you all need to stay for while we read you two resolutions that we have.
Okay, we're going to begin the resolutions process where we usually end it. With our first is 2017-8, Hotel Management and Staff. Whereas the management and staff of the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel have, as they did in 2015, provided exemplary services to the California Council of the Blind and its conference and convention attendees. And whereas these services have been an important factor in making the 2017 conference and convention a resounding success, now therefore be resolved that this organization commend and thank the management and staff of the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel for their outstanding efforts. And the committee recommends that you pass.
All in favor of this resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. It passes.
Woo-hoo.
Now Jeff is going to read our other resolution.
As soon as I can pull it up.
Most Scott and Babette and others who have been working with us most closely through the convention are not here today, but they'll obviously receive these resolutions.
I may let you do it. One more chance and I'll... Doggone it. Oh, no, we don't want to go there.
volunteer still here patiently waiting?
All right, so somehow lost here, but I'm going to read it the way I wrote it a few minutes ago. Whereas the volunteers at the 2017 California Council of the Blind Convention, including those from the Girl Scouts of America, those from the Cal State, the CSU Northridge Hospitality Industry Training Class, and those who made the trek from Sacramento, have done an outstanding job during the 2017 conference and convention. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we thank and commend these volunteers for making our convention such a resounding success. And the committee recommends a do pass.
Hey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? It passes. And I want you to know that for every volunteer for whom we have information, email, contact information, they will receive a copy of this resolution. Thank you again. And I was, is that, who seeks the floor? Ken Metz seeks the floor. Your name isn't Madam President.
This one's short. You know, I think we also, the one thing we forgot here is to include, even though we'll do it ourselves, but it also has to include the puppy raisers. That
okay, we'll add them. Assisted.
We will add that in, absolutely, Ken. There is no question. We will make sure. It's a very friendly amendment.
Very friendly amendment. And even though we already passed it, we're going to amend it.
Yep.
And nobody's going to object. Okay, thank you again, volunteers. believe it or not, we're now going to move on to the report from the Resolutions Committee. And so the two co-chairs are sitting to my right and left, but Jeff is the co-chair of the year. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Madam President. I'm going to first recognize my committee. And being old, I use mnemonics to do this. So we have the Steverinos, Bauer and Mendelssohn by name. We have the school marms by their work profession, Lozano and Wendt. We have the Dudettes, which needs no explanation, i.e. Perel and Sarah Harris. And we have the co-chairs, who agree on virtually nothing except that the Golden State Warriors will reclaim the world championship in 2 weeks. Okay, so we are going to start with resolution six. We just did 8 and 9. We're going to start with 6 and 7. Resolution 6 was withdrawn. It was submitted by Karen Memmer. The topic, however, is going to be talked about with the board. And it deals with trying to get specific funding for advocacy services. We're now going to Resolution 7. This is a resolution on GSA contract numbers and manufacturers, reasonable accommodations needed to complete Resolution 2015-1. Okay, whereas in 2015, CCB passed a resolution regarding updating EEOC's internal documents for its employees to request accommodations in compliance with Executive Order 13164, contact with manufacturers of reasonable accommodations for the blind and visually impaired, to indicate that the majority have not registered with GSA and therefore do not have GSA contract numbers to include within the update. And whereas the purpose of this resolution is for CCB to request that manufacturers register with GSA and provide to CCB their GSA contract so that the 2015 resolution can be completed. Now, therefore, be it resolved that CCB contact manufacturers of reasonable accommodations to request that they register with GSA. I should say what GSA is. GSA is the federal General Services Administration, this is escaping me, and provide to CCB their GSA contract numbers so that 2015-1 updating EEOC's internal document can be completed. The committee recommends it do not pass. Now, because of that recommendation, it will take a motion and a second from the floor for any action to be taken on this resolution. Hearing none. That's up to the president, actually. I've exceeded my authority.
Go ahead.
Okay. So hearing none, there will be no action taken on that resolution. I will say that we discussed this with various folks, and it is our feeling that this issue has some merit, but that this particular remedy is not the appropriate way to solve it. So it is an issue we'll keep looking into, both in CCB and in ACB. All right. So let me go back now to...
Four down, five to go.
Resolution 2017-1. And this deals with restrictions on orientation, mobility, and special education teaching instruction. Whereas elementary and secondary students who are blind or have low vision need a variety of specialized services, including Braille orientation and mobility and technology instruction, in order to maximize their ability to live independent and productive lives. And whereas school districts have begun imposing unreasonable restrictions on the ability of orientation and mobility and special education instructors to provide off-campus or after-school instruction. And whereas these restrictions include, but are not limited to, prohibiting any instruction before or after school, prohibiting either all off-campus orientation mobility instruction, forbidding preschool students from being taken off campus for such instruction, limiting instruction to within a small radius of the school, as for example, 3 blocks, requiring separate parental consent for every off-campus trip when receiving orientation and mobility instruction, and requiring, as a condition of after-school instruction, that a parent first be present to sign out the student. And whereas, not only do these unreasonable restrictions violate rights of students who are blind or have low vision guaranteed under state and federal law to receive necessary services, but even more importantly, these restrictions create enormous gaps in instruction essential for the success of a blind or low vision person to live independently. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind this 9th day of April at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, that this organization take the necessary steps to prohibit school districts from imposing unreasonable restrictions upon teachers of the visually impaired and orientation and mobility instructors when providing instruction in elements of the expanded core curriculum. And be it further resolved that in recognition of the fact that this problem is national in scope, a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2017 National Conference and Convention. And the committee recommends a do pass.
Second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed and abstain. Well, what a good resolution. Okay.
And I might add that we are already working with a group of orientation mobility instructors on this complex issue.
This is terrible. We need to make sure we get our kids support they need. And the president never has an opinion, right?
Not this one.
Not this one.
Okay, number two is accessible materials. I'm not going to read the boilerplate about where we're at or what hotel we're in or whatever. Accessible materials, state legislature. Whereas materials produced by the California legislature are often inaccessible to persons who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the production of materials by the legislature that are inaccessible to persons who are blind or have low vision is a violation of federal law. And whereas, even more importantly, the failure to make materials accessible seriously undermines the ability of Californians with visual impairments to exercise their rights as citizens. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization work with the rules committees of the legislature and other appropriate entities to ensure that documents produced by the legislature and legislative websites are accessible to persons who are blind or have low vision. And the committee recommends a do pass.
We have a second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Measure passes.
Okay, we have three more. Resolution 2017-3 deals with perhaps the subject that brings more people out to the legislature than any subject I know of, library services funding. Whereas federal funding for state library services provided by California's libraries participating in the Library of Congress National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped NLS program has been reduced in recent years. And whereas for several years there have been proposals in the United States House of Representatives to dramatically reduce or eliminate this federal funding. And whereas the current budget proposal by the Trump administration calls for the elimination of the Institute for Museum and Library Services, IMLS, whose funding comprises 90% of the annual budget for the California Braille and Talking Book Library, BTBL. And whereas owing to the California State Library's almost total reliance on federal funding for NLS network library staff salaries, these funding reductions have already resulted in an insufficient level of staffing for the BTBL and its sub-regional libraries. And whereas BTBL does not receive the amount of state support prescribed by Library of Congress / National Library of Services, LC/NLS standards, and whereas the Southern California Regional Braille Institute Library, which serves NLS patrons in Southern California, despite a 1978 statute, receives little, if any, state funding. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that the California Legislature, commencing with the 2018-19 fiscal year, fund both the BTBL and the Braille Institute Library at a level that is in accordance with LC/NLS standards. And be it further resolved that this organization work to achieve this level of funding, and the committee recommends a do pass.
It has been moved and seconded. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. It passes. And you can bet that Kahlua will be working on this.
That'll be a hard one.
Oh.
Okay. CCB bylaws and constitution. That's a topic that's familiar. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, constitution and bylaws, have frequently required amendment due to unforeseen internal issues involving such matters as the scheduling of conventions, the removal or midterm replacement of officers or directors, the allocation of responsibility among the membership, the board, the committees, and the chapters and statewide affiliates, and whereas the accumulation of these amendments has resulted in an extremely complex, often confusing, and sometimes internally contradictory, patchwork of provisions, requirements, and procedures. And whereas CCB currently faces new challenges, which the Constitution and bylaws do not adequately address. And whereas these issues include, but are not limited to, legal and tax compliance, the relationship between the board and both staff and contractors, financial management, and adherence to fundraising guidelines. And whereas CCB's current constitution and bylaws cannot meet the challenge of integrating professional management expertise with preservation of member control and democratic governance. And whereas further piecemeal amendment of the constitution and bylaws is likely to exacerbate rather than resolve these problems. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that the CCB Constitution and Bylaws Committee proposed to the 2018 Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind an updated constitution. And be it further resolved that the process for developing this proposed constitution will make use of, but not be limited to, in-person and telephonic hearings and issue forums, listservs, and other mechanisms by which members may present their input, participate in deliberations, and keep abreast of the ongoing process. And be it further resolved that this process will include both an examination of relevant constitutions from ACB and its affiliates who have similar characteristics, and consultation with professionals with appropriate expertise. And be it further resolved that this proposed constitution will be distributed to the membership no less than 30 days prior to the March 2018 convention, and be subject to full consideration, debate, and convention decision without a first reading at that convention, where it will require a two-thirds vote for passage. The committee recommends a do pass.
It has been moved and seconded. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstain? It passes.
Okay. Ooh. Somebody's got a lot of work next year. Or this year. Okay, this is our last resolution. 2017A5, also submitted by Karen Memmer. And this is on the Optometry Act. This gives me more work. Whereas the California optometry law contains no standards of training, no standards for training in the provision of low vision services and the prescribing of low vision devices. And whereas this lack of standards creates a severe shortage of optometrists having the specialized skills necessary to effectively treat persons with low vision. And whereas due to the rapidly increasing number of older Californians with low vision, this problem is becoming increasingly severe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization seeks sponsorship of state legislation to amend the Optometry Act to include standards for training in the provision of low vision services and the prescribing of low vision devices. And the committee recommends a do pass.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passes. Okay. So.
We're done.
So we're. Do we have to adopt?
We have to approve. Yes.
Okay. So do you then?
Just have a motion.
Okay. We need a motion. Artist moves that we accept the report of the resolutions committee, and we have a second. All in favor of accepting the report, say aye. Opposed? Abstain? Thank you for such a great job, Resolutions Committee. We have, I think next we can go to special reports. Other committee reports.
Not present.
Just a second. Gabe and Peter and Jeff. I don't think Steve Mendelson is here. But as advocacy here, we really wanted you to talk a little bit more about the bicycle bill so that we can get our people ready. Okay, so Gabe first, then, did I say Gabe first, then Peter?
You said Gabe, Peter, then Jeff.
Gabe, okay, so Gabe, Peter, then Jeff. Tinkers to Evers to whoever. Or it's the other way.
We'll figure something out. I'm up here now as the co-chair of technology. And I would just one more time like to thank everybody on the technology committee and the streaming of the convention this weekend. That includes Andrea, committee chairs is my co-chair Andrea Pitzenberger, who was not able to be here this morning, and members Steve Amanoff and John Glass.
Yay.
So thank you. Non-members of the technology committee that have been very involved in the streaming. First of all, Ken Metz for his providing and willingness to provide both technical hardware and his time behind the streaming equipment. And board member Rob Turner and Steve Bauer, whose name is coming up more and more these days. So thank you to everybody who has, and of course, I don't know the, I'm blanking on the last names, but Brooks and Ronnie of our audio team, who have been great with helping us make sure everything gets connected and set up every morning. I can never say enough about those guys, but especially coming in and having never been involved in the streaming this year, it's just, I can't thank everybody enough for all the help of making sure it goes well. And thank you to everybody, and thank you to everybody out there in that's not in this room that's been listening for making our efforts worth it. And I will be quiet and let Peter go now.
You're right? Okay. Yeah, I've got a, at last night's banquet, somebody left a couple cell phones. I've got two here, so let's see.
AT&T and a Velcro.
Is this yours?
Yes.
Okay, and then I got one more. Yeah, it was a... There you go, Vivian.
Awesome.
And also, I need to remind the president that we still have door prizes available.
Hey, that's good.
There you go.
I'm here.
Oh, why don't we do a couple of door prizes? We have a few more. Since we're done voting on everything, why don't you all right now, if you have them with you, take your badges off and put them on the table.
I never put my badge on. I forgot about it. I have it.
Oh, that's right. You don't have tables. So bring them up. Forget what I just said.
There's no tables out there?
As you go, is there a table at the back? Are there tables at the back? Okay, somebody's collecting them. Good. Yep, name tags. People don't need them anymore. But I have this nice box in front of me that has names in it. I'm unlatching it as I speak. And Peter, what's our first door prize?
Let's do $25 from the Fresno chapter.
Fresno chapter, 25 buckaroos. My name is in here. Okay, we need a volunteer to read.
Can you? Can read this.
I don't think you can, Peter.
Joni Patchy?
Joni Patchy!
Is she here?
Oh, put her name out for now.
We're glad she's sad.
Okay, one more.
Edward
Crunchy.
Crunchy?
Ed Crisp.
Is it Crespin? Ed Crespin! Woo! Woo! Is he here? Of course! Ed never misses a session. Okay, so Peter, what's our next door prize? A Braille bag from the Braille Institute with those water bottles and things. Thanks so much for the Braille Institute gift. So, Peter, pull a name, okay? You know, we have had very few people when we have only had to call more than one name on these prizes a couple of times. I think that's a first. I may have spoken too soon.
Louis Herrera.
Louis Herrera! Is Louis here? Not here.
Gail Crossan?
Gail Crossan. Gail? Oh! How many more prizes do we have? About six? Five? Do we have? Oh, my.
Oh, double them.
Oh, my God. Let's have another one. I'm... I'm picking another name. Okay, Peter Dewey, can you read this one? Somebody? Somebody's delivering wheat. Don't we have any of our volunteers left?
I'm right here.
Okay, could you read this?
The number or the name?
The name.
Oh, yeah, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Steve Mendelson.
Steve Mendelson, oh, no! Oh, he's not here. He's going to be so... He said, I've got to have a little more sleep, but I'm going to miss my door prize. He never knew.
And he did.
And he did. Okay, so we have another name.
Gloria Broderick.
Gloria Broderick.
Man, she keeps winning.
Oh, she's not here. Okay.
Linda Nishihara.
Lynn. Not here.
Now we're hitting the wall. Yeah, I bet.
We should throw him out. I mean, sorry, we shouldn't put him back.
No, I'm not putting him back.
Yeah, good.
Maureen Scholes.
Not here.
Well, in a minute, I'm going to win by default.
Yeah.
That's right.
Alice Turner.
Alice.
I thought she was in here.
Rob is here, but he's not Alice.
Oh, Alice is back there. That's right.
Alice!
I just helped her.
Oh. Oh, good! Oh, and just because Alice was here, let's do one more.
Having family troubles already.
Yep, one more.
Okay, let me. Can we just draw one, Judy? It's
a prize?
$5 and a chocolate bar.
Just pulled something out. She won the tote bag from Braille Institute. So, am I pulling out another name?
Yes, please.
Yeah, here's a name. I'm pulling them out.
Oh, Jeff Tong.
Hey! What did he get?
$25 cash.
$25!
And a candy bar.
And a candy bar.
And a candy bar. All right. Let's see. There was... Frank, somebody had called for the floor after... Yeah, we've announced everyone. This was a $25 prize. What?
Yeah, no, we still have it here.
No, it's coming. Oh, we're going to get to it. If we have a bigger amount, do we have a 50 somewhere?
Why don't we combine a couple of them?
Yeah, we'll at the end.
Next door prize will be $75.
No, the last door prize will be $75.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll see. We're going to have plenty of time. So,
let me do a quick campaign.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead to another Jeff.
Am I supposed to do what now?
Talk about the bicycle.
Oh, okay.
Jeff is reporting for the absent Steve Mendelson, who's our advocacy committee chair.
I talked to you. I'm sure just about everybody in this room has heard it about. AB 1103, the bill that would allow bicycles to
kill blind people.
Rule the road, and yes, and kill blind people. That bill will be heard on the 17th of this month. Monday, one of my first tasks when I get home, I will mail out to the different lists, and maybe we'll try to get it on the connection. I don't know, we might try to do that telephonically. The names of the committee members, and I'll put where their district offices are, if I can, so that you can call these members and object to this bill. I hope that Gene and I are going to be making some trips around this week. Steve is going to come up to the hearing, so if there are any of you that are going to be in the Sacramento area on the 17th, that would be great to have you in the room and to
say I'll be
say
at that hearing,
word.
Too.
But we're going to fight this bill tooth and nail and see where it gets us.
1103 is going to be a number we won't forget. And Jeff will send this week, and we'll get it to the list, the contact information for the members of the committee. Yes, Christy. Lucky I know your voice, Christy, because your name isn't Madam Chair.
Okay. So my question is, are we going to do anything to publicize this in terms of maybe the news to get this out quickly?
Christy, we talked about this. Maybe did you raise this yesterday? We talked about this. It's a week away. We're going to do our best to get a press release out. We'll do our very best. You're absolutely right. This needs publicity, and as it moves on, we'll definitely be on it.
Thank you.
Jean needs the floor.
I think also it would help if you know bicyclists who do not support the bill to see if they would call in and identify themselves, or if they're in the Sacramento area, come to the hearing to let them know that not all bicyclists agree with this. I think that's going to carry a lot of influence because the bicyclists lobby is very strong in California. And pedestrians, there's California Walks, tries very hard, but it doesn't have the strength. And two is I think if, you know, they need, California Walks needs to see that we, as a member, that, you know, we really want this bill defeated. And I think then they'll put a little more into it. And Jeff, you'll be providing also the points that the people should cover?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Talking points. Karen, which Karen?
Karen Schroeder.
Go ahead, Karen.
My question is, where would we find either summary or whatever of this bill so that we can explain it correctly?
Jeff is going to provide some talking points to us.
Thank you.
Linda, go ahead.
Any chance that the names of the committee members could be sent out in case one of them belongs to us?
You were listening. Jeff is going to get that out, the list and the contact information for the committee members.
Nice to have it underlined. Thank you.
And the chief co-author and probably the most important sponsor of the bill is one of yours, Linda, Philip Ting from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Down Lombard Street.
David Jackson? Okay. We'll go for other reports in a minute, but you know what? I am so glad in a way. I am so sorry in some ways that we didn't give as many door prizes, although we kept our sessions on schedule Friday and Saturday, and that was a challenge. But for all those of you here, we have lots of door prizes left. And I'm glad that the Sunday morning loyals gonna get something here. That'll teach people not to stay for the end of the convention. So, Peter has, what do we have up next?
$25 cash.
$25 cash from
Greater LA.
And something
we're
else.
Do a little, from the Inland Empire, it's a...
Well, we've got lots.
We really got lots. And something from the Inland Empire.
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
It's a package from the Inland Empire. It's a surprise from the Inland Empire chapter.
I vote for separately except what I win.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. I noticed you're eating your candy bar as we speak.
I did. I'm going to draw.
Yeah. Peter's shuffling them. Anita, somebody? Nope. Okay, is it Doyle? Annie Doyle? Is she here? Okay. She's not here. Just put him in the top when you don't.
I'm not.
Or we don't want him back in the box.
I'm not going back in the
okay.
box.
Okay.
Yeah, I know her.
Eva Hendrickson?
Eva Hendrickson.
Not here.
We have a...
Gina McGoy.
Gina McGoy. Not here. Doesn't matter if she's in the hotel. She's not here.
Maria Herrera.
Maria Herrera. Oh, the Herreras are going to be unhappy. Yeah. They're not.
Trina, and I can't read.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Trina.
McCurdy.
No, Trina Chimp. Trip? Chimp? Trina somebody. Gone. That's actually not a bad idea. We should just draw the name text. Vita.
Vita's Evelyn.
Oh, Vita.
Penalizer. Find those that left.
Maybe we should just take the name tags and draw. But not Debbie everybody Cordero. Had theirs. Debbie Cordero. No, not here. Well, it's going to take a while. We could, we almost should. Go ahead. Brooks.
Clarissa White.
Clarissa White? Or is it it's Chelsea White, I think.
Chelsea
not here.
White,
not
me.
Here. She, unfortunately, her name came up. We put it accidentally. You know, they get put back until.
We know they're not.
God, it's Williams. I can't read her first name.
Is it Tanya?
Tanya.
Tanya Williams. Hey! Yay! Tanya? Is she not here?
Tanya? Yeah, she's here.
Tanya?
Is she here?
Is...
I thought I did.
She's not okay, here.
Oh, man. Yeah, her posse over there.
Christine Bailey?
Christine Bailey!
Steve?
Yeah.
Bevan? Bevan?
Steve, yeah.
Bauer.
Bauer.
He's here. Okay. Oh, good. He got $25 and a surprise package from the Inland Valley chapter. Inland Empire. Sorry.
Want to do another one?
Let's do another one. Do we need somebody else too?
At least we got a better chance.
Stephanie Rudd.
Stephanie Rudd. Hey! What does she get? What does she get? $25 cash. Do we have most of the cash left?
Yeah, it's all cash.
Hey, cash from here on out.
Let's do $25 from San Francisco.
Wait, no. That was, what chapter was that previous one from?
Inland Empire.
Was that
it was another.
Greater LA. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, San Francisco has $25 on the line. Thank you for all the chapters, by the way, who donates. We really appreciate the door prizes. Sarah Harris.
Is Sarah still here?
I'm right here. Hey!
Three in a row.
Want to do one more?
One more. 25 from
Greater LA.
Greater Los Angeles again. They're so really appreciate all of these generous donations from our chapters and affiliates. The door prizes.
Linda Perrell.
Linda Perrell. Yeah, she's here.
Is she here? Linda
Perrell? Oh, no. Oh.
Okay.
She's coming back.
Leslie Tom.
She's not here.
Not here.
Okay.
She's packing.
Linda.
Oh, Graham Whitaker. Kathy, is he here? No. We know. Yeah, it's It's Graham. Here. It's his, you know, that's her husband, but he's not here.
Enrique.
Rafael Enriquez? Not here.
Oh, I know who that is.
Robert Wendt?
Robert Rennie?
Robert, oh, it's Bob Rennie. No. No, it's not Rennie. His name is something. Yeah.
Tatiana Corey?
I love that.
No.
Debbie Obregon, is she here?
Debbie Obregon! Yes.
Ken Metz, is he in the room?
Ken Metz! Was that a Greater LA?
That was Greater LA.
So, what Greater LA giveth, Greater LA taketh back. Okay. Any other committee reports? Paul Campam seeks the floor. All right, I got you.
Thank you very much. I'm here regarding credentials. And the membership situation. You know, the membership numbers that were given are just numbers, and I don't have any substantiation. Usually I have a list of each chapter's dues so that I can match the number of dues with the number of members. So the only numbers we have are kind of self-advocated, and I'd like to make a suggestion for consideration, not right now for consideration, but over the year, that as next year comes closer for the convention, if this would be approved, that the chapters could also send me, to my designee, a copy of their credentials and their dues numbers so that we can actually have a valid credentials and membership report. And I thank you for your time.
Pam, we are going to do better for credentials next year. I promise. Okay, the other Pam Metz. I mean, the other Pam Metz. Ken, you didn't know.
I'll have you know I am not cloned yet. Hi, you guys. I chair the Domestic Violence and Hate Crime Committee, and as I spoke at the women's breakfast the other night, I want to start working with the crisis committee because I feel that...
Pam, slow down a little bit.
Okay.
Speak up.
I feel that the crisis committee and the Domestic Violence Committee could work well together to make sure blind and visually impaired male and females are protected. I have already contacted the sheriff, the police departments in my area, and shelters, and they both say the reason why they won't accept blind or visually impaired male and females is because it's a liability, which is totally against the law. What I'm looking for, I have a meeting on Wednesday the 26th of this month, and I'm looking for people who want to join the committee. I only want about, how many more, Judy, two or three?
You've actually got enough on the committee, but if
I
need some people to
help with research and things
okay,
like that.
Okay, let's have anybody who's interested in supporting the committee.
Yes, supporting the committee's, my committee, thank you, so that we can try to figure out a way to get these shelters and police departments to understand that blind and visually impaired men and women do get abused and are involved with hate crimes and can get killed and should be accepted totally. So if you're interested, I'm all over. You can just email it, put a note on CCBL or whatever. I'll get it. Oh, okay, my email address. Do I do this? Oh, it's P as in Pamela, D as in Denise, H-I-L-L. I'm giving my year. 1958 at gmail.com.
And it's on the website. It's on the website under the her hate and violence and hate crimes. Okay, next we had Vivian.
Hello, everyone. Okay, I just wanted to let you know that it's been a joy to chair the membership committee, and I have excellent committee members. And we did two things this year, and we have one coming up. So we did a success to win. It was a focus call, and we translated that into specific success to win points, and that was sent to all the presidents. And I hope that that you saw that, and maybe your president talked about it, because not only does it apply, you know, to the president and to your chapter, but for other people. We had seven people, new people come for the first time, and there were other people there, but the talking about the blind and visually impaired this year for the first time seminar. So that was really great. Ended up, they were talking about, you know, how they felt when they came, and did they get into trouble or what happened? And so we ended up having a laughing fest, because it was just really good. Now, we have an upcoming mentor training that's open to the entire CCB. It's going to be in June. It'll be posted on the president's list, the memberships list, and also the connection. And we're all mentors. Sometimes you don't know it. But if you're interested in participating in it, I'd love to see you there, or hear you there. And the other thing we're going to be doing in the future is we're going to have a... it's going to be like a seminar where we're inviting different agencies to participate on the call, like from the diabetes, you know, blindness related, but not, you know, the typical agencies that we reach out to. So, in other words, I call them auxiliary. So, like I said, diabetic, MS, other types of illnesses that have complications with vision loss. That'll do two things. It's going to hopefully one way to gain new members, and the second thing is give us PR right there in the telephonic phone call. So, bottom line, I feel that the membership committee is one of the most important committees, because that we end up being a grassroots level. And I just have this vision of everybody running around to different places and having the same intensity that I've seen at this convention. And I'm just proud of you, and it gives me more energy to do a better job. Thank you. Okay.
And I have personally tasked the membership committee, and Vivian is going to be taking this on. I am really dedicated to involving our at-large members, of whom we have a fair number, and they have no place to go, no meeting, no way to really be represented out there kind of in limbo. So we're going to ask our membership community to work with them as well. And this is one of my real hopes, that we can get a more vibrant at large membership. And remember, let your people know that don't live near chapters, that they can, $10 a year, be members at large. And we really need our members at large. Karen.
Karen Schroeder here. The devotions were scheduled for this morning, and they actually didn't happen. Well, they did, but they spontaneously happened. So I'm not on the committee, but I promise that next year I will be, and we're going to have a much bigger devotion service for everybody.
I know that there are a number of people who'd be thrilled to hear that, Karen, and I'll be glad to appoint you to that committee.
We also have
good.
Pamphology would also be, and I think it was Christy Crespin too. But we're going to reconstitute that.
I'm glad. I will definitely appoint all of you. And Nellie. Peter, would you take those names down for me, right?
I have them down.
Christy, Pam, Nellie, and Karen. Thank you. And Gail. Wonderful. I think we've got our committee right now. Yeah. Okay. Who seeks the floor? Ken. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Thank you for reminding us of those. Brooks. When it's done, when we're done. So I'll remind you at the very end. Okay. Thank you, Ken. Yep. Any other committee reports? Yeah, Christy, seeks the floor. Yeah, thank you. No, I understand. Go ahead, Christy.
When I get the mic. There, thank you. Okay. So with the crisis committee, we had, I believe, one person that we helped, and it was a great pleasure, and I don't know how much more to say. The Ellen Murphy Fund, we have helped several women who are over the age of 50. We continue to help them with various things like some of the bills that they haven't been able to pay, things like the utility companies turning electricity or water on and off and all the back pays because they're not very helpful. So we did some of that because the bills add up and add up and add up and you can't pay them. We did some moving, helping people find housing and moving. So there are a lot of things that we've done to help legally blind women over the age of 50.
And I keep reminding our members, if you are a woman over 50 and you have a need, please let our Ellen Murphy committee members know. Catherine Skivers is the chair, our Kathy Skivers.
Yes.
Christy is on that committee, and
Abby Vincent.
Abby Vincent is on that committee.
So, but if you send through the office, hopefully we'll get the information. We have helped one person recently, and one person we're waiting on the total application. It is basically a one-time deal, so it's not just for little itty-bitty everyday kind of stuff. Also, we, with my being chair of the scholarship committee, we handed out 6 scholarships during the 2016-2017 school year. We handed it out to Arash Dabestany from Rockville College, and I don't know if my members, Millie, help me. We handed out to Ide Kampa from Whittier College, who is an English major and interested in studying law. Danae Harris, who is a social work graduate student from Loma Linda University. Laurice Diamond, who is a communications major from San Diego State. Andre Green, who is a graduate student, and I'm blanking on what his major is, but I think it's in the counseling field. Human services, thank you, Robert, from Dominguez Hills. And then Brittany Embry,
And she's also from Dominguez Hills.
Got that phone on? Please silence it.
And Robert, do you remember what hers is? Brittany's? Yeah, I think it's the same kind of human services.
Okay.
Is Larice in the room?
Is Larice Diamond in the room? No. Thank you, Christy, for those committee reports. We see how many hats.
Oh, let me thank my committee. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Christy.
And we unfortunately lost Jerry, and we are hoping to gain a new member. And I don't know if Judy, you got that message yet.
I have. We need to talk, Christy,
okay,
to see who you'd like me to
so
appoint.
So we'll be getting a new member shortly. But our members are Leslie Tom, Robert Wendt, Rob Turner, Nellie Emerson, Steve Fort, Linda Perrell, and I'm missing
you.
Oh, and me. No, it's because I'm sorry, but Jerry left the big hole. There were eight of us, and
exactly
do that very well.
Yep. Thank you, Christy, for wearing so many hats for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And is anyone here?
Christy wants to know if anyone is here who received a scholarship. I heard she heard a voice saying they were here for a scholarship. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other reports for committees? Okay, I'm going to ask then that we draw a couple more door prizes.
Okay.
Then we'll... Just a second, Donna.
There. Oh. Mike Keithley.
Mike Keithley. What? We have to say what the prize is.
What you have to...
Come on, we have to...
I know.
Okay, what chap... Could somebody hand... We handed Mike that...
What
chapter was that from?
Bayview.
We do not want to run over the names of these donors, so we'll be very careful.
Okay, we have another $25
from
Capital Chat, ACB
ACB. Oh boy, I'm sorry.
Not about running over chapter names.
Capital Chapter.
Okay.
And I have seen Capital written with an A L. Is that right?
Is it? Is Bonnie Rennie in the room?
No. So that's the correct? So AL is correct.
O-L.
Well, but it's I have seen AL so many places,
that's
like on the envelopes that are labeled and like on the agenda. I've seen
Lynn
this.
Coates.
Lynn Coates. Not here. That's what I thought.
Sugar Lopez.
Sugar Lopez. Not here.
I'm going to use the name tag.
Use the name tag. Just grab. Yeah, but not everybody.
Okay. Here's, what should I do?
Here's my name tag. Did you get it in there? Okay. All right, let's do name tags. Just grab a name tag.
I'm going to just be more efficient.
Frank. Just a second. Yes? Wait a minute. Who seeks the floor? Gene. But
Judy, I'm not too certain whether you understood the explanation. The capital is AL because it's the seat of government, not the building. So that's the reason our chapter has it, because we're in Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah. AL.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
And it's ACB, Capital Chapter.
Thank you. I get it now.
Okay.
Thank you. The English teacher was concerned. Donna Sanchez had... Wait. Donna had sought the floor.
I would like to please reiterate that if possible,
in credentials, nominating, and any other meetings that are outside the general session, that we have at least a microphone, because there are people that are hearing impaired beside myself and Roger, which we use the ADLs, but there are also people that are just maybe starting to hear,
Donna,
lose
we,
their hearing.
Yeah.
Please,
I
beg you.
Thank you. I'm embarrassed that has not happened at this convention, and we'll make sure to have microphones in every session from now on. If we have to buy some. Okay, Roger, yes. Roger was saying BRLC and all those other meetings. We do have microphones in there, but we need them in every single event.
Is Gene Burkhart in the room?
Gene Burkhart. All right, now we need to say what the prize is. $25 capital C-T-A-L chapter. $25. My name is in there.
Norma.
Hey. Okay. Let's stop just 1 second. Is there any old business to come before this convention? Is there any new business to come before this convention? Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker.
I would like to ask the convention committee or another appropriate committee, as the president would like to designate, to identify a way to communicate to the attendees at the conference and convention. To communicate that it would be very respectful and courteous for individuals to bring headphones to use for their smartphones or other voice output devices, and that during the meeting, the general session meetings, we remind folks to put their phones on vibrate and to take phone calls outside of the room. Thank you.
Well, we'll put it in the next program prominently. Please, convention chair. And also, this reminds me to say that the convention committee will be developing in the next few days, hear this, Mr. Chair, a survey to ask you your input for this convention. And we will be putting it out on the various lists, and we will be looking for your feedback. So look for this in the next 2 weeks at the latest. Christy seeks the floor. Is this new business, Christy? Okay, Christy, go ahead.
I heard some people come to the convention and argue about, well, I'm not going to pay registration. I don't see why I need to pay registration. So they did not pay registration for the day. And I don't know if they paid when they came back, but it was a big argument between them, and I thought it was really embarrassing. And, you know, we need to pay registration.
It is a mandatory fee on the application. Anyone who thinks they don't have to pay registration. I wish I'd known about this sooner, Christy. I'd like to hear a little more. Tell me later. All right, so, but that is, it is a mandatory, there is no checkbox, there is no, that is a fixed fee that is on the registration form. That is a fixed fee. All right, Jeff. Here.
For good or ill, it is the last board policy that we took it up. We said that if someone wanted to just come into exhibits or come into a workshop session, they don't have to register. However, if they want a program or a meal or anything else, as the president just said, then they have to register.
But
And then the problem is, if we change the policy, we'd have to be the police of basically kicking people out. Yeah, well, Kevin wants to do it, and I, you know, there's a point to that.
Well, we're definitely going to work on this. All right, so let's go for, okay, just to think, just I'm going to consult with my parliamentarian. Can I declare the convention closed and then we just continue with door prizes? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do door prizes, but I am going to officially declare this the conclusion of one of our most successful conventions ever. The 2017 conference and convention is now adjourned. Another door prize.
CCLV 25.
CCLV 25, triple C, LV, $25.
Edward Christman.
Oh, another?
Yeah. I've been using name tags, Judy.
Now we're using name tags. Now let's combine, let's see, how much money do you have left?
We got $100.
All right, let's do $250s.
Okay.
$250 prizes.
$25 from the Fresno.
$25 from the Fresno chapter. $25 from CCCLV.
Let's see. Robert Turner.
Rob Turner. Is Rob here? Oh, how nice.
And Judy, last door prize is two $25 door prizes from the Fresno chapter.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
And finally, two $25 door prizes for 50 from our Fresno chapter goes to Judy. No.
Donna Sanchez.
Donna Sanchez. Hey, Donna, Carly is wagging her tail like crazy. She obviously thought you should get that. No.
Okay. I have to hurry up. I have
something
for you.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm not running. I am here. I'll be here for a few minutes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's the money. That's the door prizes. That's the convention.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Safe travels home.